the U.S. called off a planned retaliatory strike on Iran after an American drone was shot down.
Normally, shooting down a drone is not something that would merit a huge retaliation.
And gun manufacturers are finding ways to skirt assault weapon bans.
What happens is that the gun makers just remove these offending features and sell guns that shoot pretty much the same as the banned ones.
Plus, the S&P 500 hits a new record. This is What's News from the Wall Street Journal. I'm Kim Gittleson. Let's get started. Now, before we get into our main story of the morning, just how gun manufacturers are finding ways around assault weapon bans in states like California, here's what you missed. The U.S. was preparing to launch a retaliatory strike against Iran. This was for shooting down an American reconnaissance drone yesterday. But the mission was called off at the last minute. That's according to U.S. officials. From Beirut, Suna Engel Rasmussen has more.
Drones get shot out of the sky on a regular basis, or a semi-regular basis. This is not the first time an American drone is shot down in a contested area. And normally, shooting down a drone is not something that would merit like a huge retaliation. But these are the normal times, and with the tensions brewing in the Middle East now, people are worried that this could lead to retaliation, because you also have people in the Trump administration who are pushing a more confrontational line. People out here are concerned about who is actually calling the shots in the Trump administration, and can the president, would he change his mind at some point? Because at this point, it doesn't seem like he doesn't seem to want a war, but people here at least are concerned that maybe that could change.
Yesterday, President Trump said he believed that Iran shot down the drone by mistake.
And I think probably Iran made a mistake. I would imagine it was a general or somebody that made a mistake in shooting that drone down. And fortunately, that drone was unarmed. It was not, there was no man in it, and there was no, it was just, it was over international waters, clearly over international waters, but we didn't have a man or woman in the drone. We had nobody in the drone.
And the Paris Air Show wraps up today. Here's our reporter Robert Wall from the show on the key takeaways.
Yeah, the show was weird, I've got to say. Usually it's dominated by the boxing match between Airbus and Boeing. And Boeing showed up here, obviously, with the MAX crisis and effectively a cast on its leg. So it wasn't the usual sparring that goes on. That said, both Airbus and Boeing got what they wanted out of the show and kind of had to get out of the show. Airbus launched a new plane, A321 XLR, got some big orders. American and JetBlue signed up, for example. And Boeing obviously had the big order. British Airways parent IAG bought 200 MAXs. You know, the first MAX order in a long time since the fleet was grounded. Huge vote of confidence from an airline that matters. That said, Boeing also used the show to say as much as they could. They were sorry. To some extent, they said that they screwed up, although they're still only admitting that in very limited fashion. But yeah, I think a good show for both of them.
And ahead of its public market debut, WeWork is facing a new lawsuit. It's from former employees alleging age and gender discrimination. A former senior vice president who oversaw compensation issues said that an overwhelming number of large pay packages went to male executives. Earlier this month, a former construction executive alleged that he was unfairly replaced by someone younger. A spokesperson for WeWork said the claims in the lawsuit were meritless and that the company intended to fight them. Now, our main story this morning. It has to do with gun manufacturers and their efforts to skirt assault rifle bans in states like California. Our reporting found that the gun used by a man who attacked a synagogue in Southern California last month, killing one person and injuring three, used a legal model that was virtually identical to a banned assault rifle. Charlie Turner has been speaking to our reporter, Zusha Ellenson, to find out more.
Zusha, you're in California, which first banned the sale of guns classified as assault weapons in 1989, then updated the restrictions first in 1999, then again in 2016. But there have been more shootings. Haven't gun makers modified these weapons to make them legal or legally identical to the banned guns?
Right. So what's happened here is that California has tried to ban AR-15 style rifles and other guns that it calls assault weapons. And the way they've done that is by outlawing certain features of these guns. But what happens is that the gun makers just remove these offending features and sell guns that shoot pretty much the same as the banned ones on the shelves of many stores in California.
The AR-15 was used by a shooter to attack a synagogue in San Diego last month, killing one and injuring three. Now, despite the state ban, it's still legal, isn't it?
That's correct. Our law enforcement sources have told us that the shooter in this terrible incident went to a gun store in San Diego and purchased an AR-15-style rifle that's perfectly legal in California, in spite of the ban on these weapons they call assault weapons here. And the AR-15-style rifle that he bought in function is very similar to the AR-15-style rifles that are banned in California.
And it's just one of many models that the gun industry has used to bypass regulations.
That's right. Stepping back, let's think about the economics of this. So the AR-15, it's the most popular rifle in America. And here you have a state of, 40 million people out here in California. They want to get their hands on AR-15 style rifles. And so there's a big market for gun makers out here. So what they do is they pour over these regulations that ban these so-called assault weapons, and they figure out which parts to take off and how to tweak their weapons a little bit, and then they sell them into California. And the state never comes out and says, oh, yeah, this is perfectly legal, but they also don't say it's illegal. And so these California-compliant AR-15s, as they're called, are being sold all over the state.
Well, haven't lawmakers in California moved to try to head off these workarounds, introduce legislation to ban them?
Yeah. I mean, California is an example of a state that has tried to ban these types of guns more times than any other state. And what they did in 1989 was outlaw them by name. But what quickly happened is that the manufacturers just changed the names of the guns and sold them anyway. So fast forward 10 years later to 1999, state lawmakers say, well, how can we actually ban these guns since the gun makers just changed the names? So they call out specific features of these guns. They called out the flash hider. They called out the pistol grip. They called out the foldable stock. They called out the grenade launcher. All these parts that were associated with those guns, they said, if we ban these parts, then they won't be able to make those guns. But what happened is they just started making them without those parts.
Well, even though gun manufacturers have evaded restrictions, have states made any headway in reducing the sales of these weapons that are classified as, assault weapons?
That's a really great question. There aren't any good statewide stats that track these specific types of guns. But anecdotally, talking to gun dealers, they do say that these restrictions have put a dent in their sales. The restrictions have far from stamped out these types of guns, but certainly sales are down. And the gun dealers say that's because consumers don't like the modified guns as much as the original ones.
And your story notes that a couple of Democratic presidential candidates and other elected officials say they want to renew the federal assault weapons ban, which was in place from 1994 to 2004.
That's right. In 1994, Clinton passed the federal assault weapons ban, and it was somewhat similar to California's. And, it lasted for 10 years. During that time, some more fringe gun makers or smaller gun makers did make workaround models, but the major gun makers didn't, which is interesting. Now you have the state assault weapons bans. You have them in California, Maryland, New Jersey, New York, and a couple other states. And the major gun makers are jumping in and making these workarounds. And that sort of just shows how much more popular the AR-15 style rifle has become since then.
Representatives for gun manufacturers didn't respond to Zusha's request for comments for the article. You can read the full report on WSJ.com. On to markets. The S&P 500 hit a new record yesterday. This is after the Fed suggested earlier this week that it would consider cutting interest rates later this year. In fact, here's a stat for you. The S&P 500 is headed towards its best June performance since 1955. And the Dow? Well, it's on track for its best June since 1938. Finance editor Alex Rangos explains what's behind all this investor optimism.
Well, it's a combination of the Fed looks like it's cutting rates, so money's going to be easy, and the economy isn't that bad, and people think we're maybe not going into recession, and that the rate cuts are precautionary, and you know, if the economy is doing well, corporate profits are going to go up, then stocks should go up too. So it's kind of a what they call a Goldilocks. Everything is right. The porridge tastes just right. Another thing that people are really hopeful about is that there's going to be some sort of progress or resolution to the trade dispute with China, with Presidents Trump and Xi meeting at the G20 meeting coming up. And, you know, people are very optimistic. But this is kind of what we're seeing in markets in general is just optimism. There's lots of stuff to be scared about. Bond markets are screaming. There's a recession coming. There's lots of economic indicators that say trade is slowing down, but investors aren't really having any of it. They see the glass half full.
And now the SCED. Here's what to look forward to later today. We've got a new poll out with NBC News on our views on the state of democracy. Spoiler alert, we're not feeling very optimistic about our government's ability to deal with long-term problems. John McCormick has more.
We found that, some things as basic as sort of belief in free markets, tolerance and different views and religions has fallen off, and commitment to democracy and majority rule have also declined. Commitment to democracy and majority rule, for example, are viewed by 32% as fairly or extremely accurate fundamental idea to be associated with the nation. That's down from 53% in 1998. The share of those who see the U.S. as tolerant of others with different beliefs and lifestyles also has dropped, down from 35% to 26%.
And we'll get the first round of results of the Federal Reserve's latest stress tests on the country's biggest banks. These are the tests that were put in place after the financial crisis that look to assess if big banks have enough in their reserves to withstand another crisis. But this year, the banks are facing, well, less stress. We report that they could have an easier time with the exams because the Fed, for the first time this year, changed some of the metrics, including a test of how firms would fare under a hypothetical doomsday scenario. Finally, some good news to send you into the weekend with. People are a lot more honest than we think. To the surprise of researchers around the world conducting a study that looked to examine the tensions between financial self-interest and honesty, people were more likely to return a lost wallet with money inside it than an empty wallet. The pattern held in 38 out of 40 countries. Mexico and Peru were the exceptions. So if you find a lost wallet this weekend, you know what to do. That's what's news from the Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend.